Free Speech Radio is alive and well in Sacramento on the voice of Sacramento.
The voice in the Bottle Kids with Kissing You, and all the way from the Bay Area right now, I've got the gentleman of the Bottle Kids. I've got three Bottle Kids in the room. Guys, welcome to the Swirl Studios.
Thank you, Mike.
Thank you, Mike.
Hey, so let's go around the room, left to right, or I guess we're in a circle. So somebody start. Let's introduce yourself. See who's here and what do you guys do in the band?
I'm Eric Blakely, and I play guitar and sing.
I'm the drummer. Name is Jose.
Hey, Jose.
Yeah.
And I'm Dave Wenger. Bass player.
Awesome. And Dave, we need to get that microphone a little closer to you. And our paths have crossed, I guess, about a year ago. Eric, you sent me this wonderful record, Such a Thrill, and you know what? I'm loving it. Where does the name The Bottle Kids come from? How'd you start that?
There's a Canadian TV show called The Trailer Park Boys, and it's a comedy. It's a fake mockumentary, and one of the gags in several episodes is they'll be talking and doing whatever they're doing, and then these kids will walk up, just pelt them with bottles, and then they'll go, oh, heck, the Bottle Kids, and they'll dive. And I just thought, what a great name for a band. So in the back of my mind, I thought, if I ever have a band, I'll try the Bottle Kids as a name. And then I just started saying it, and then it just sort of became the name that I was using.
I love that. And, it is a great album cover, too. I'm looking at it, and, of course, there's a recycling bin which says cans only, and it's filled with bottles. Just a little bit rebellious there, huh?
It was I was in Alabama. I was on the road with another band, actually with Paul Collins Beat, actually, and we were walking down the street and I saw it, so I just took the photo actually with my iPhone, and then I thought, well, it's ironic enough, you know. So
Now it's truly amazing. I mean, we're here in the 21st century, the digital age, and you can do album covers with iPhones, and people are producing a lot of music themselves. Was the album self-produced? How did that all come together?
The short version is I had my own studio in Austin, and I decided I'd always wanted to make a record where I was playing all the instruments.
Okay.
So I just recorded 30 drum parts, and I didn't really have a concept of an album in place, and then I just started writing songs to them, and I said, okay, this is it, I'll make a record. And so I just wrote songs. I wrote the drum beats first, and then I just sort of wrote music to the drum beats, and then wrote the lyrics. And then by then I already knew I was moving back to California, so I finished the record in Austin, and then I moved out here. And Dave and I kind of knew each other from back in the day.
Yeah.
Dave knew Jose, so we just started getting together at Dave's place, and here we are.
Because you needed these fine gentlemen with you to make this album come alive on stage.
Yeah, and they've done a great job. On the first rehearsal, I didn't know how some of these songs are going to, because when you play everything, you're thinking, okay, anyway, it turned out great because they all did learn the parts, and I was like, oh, this actually can translate into a band. I don't know why I didn't think it could, but anyway.
That's fantastic. No, and so, and I know, Dave, we have some previous history together because, I'll let you tell. What other band are you in, Dave?
I play with the singer of a band called Romeo Void. Her name is Deborah Ayal, and she and I have known each other for a very long time, and she was living in Sacramento at the time, and I was living in El Cerrito, which is near Berkeley, California, and I would drive up every weekend to work on material with her and put a band together, and I'm not sure exactly sure how we met with you, but we played a show in San Francisco that you put on. And that's how I officially met you face to face.
That was a lot of fun too. You guys were just phenomenal live. I hadn't seen the band. I met her because she did a little in-store record promotion at I think it's called Phono Select Records here in Sacramento.
Yeah, great place.
I know, it's neat how all of our paths have crossed. And so she's down in Southern California, and I remember you told me that you know Eric from way back, and you might join up with the Bottle Kids. I thought, wow, these two great worlds are colliding.
Yeah,
you know,
it's so really cool.
It is cool. And then you guys both separately said, hey, if you're ever doing a live power pop show, consider us. You both asked me independently. I thought, okay, I've got to ask. And so I asked the good folks of the Starry Plow, and they said, you know what, we've already got the Bottle Kids. I thought, this is like the stars aligning. I didn't even have to do much to get this together. So my contribution to the bill would be the Cherry Blue Storms. I've seen them in LA, and they're just phenomenal live. They're just fiery. And then, of course, Antoinette and Michelle said, let's just go big and get the Rain Parade. So all of a sudden, here we are.
That's great.
So have you guys ever played at the Starry Plow before?
I've played at the Starry Plow. Yeah, I've played there many years. I was in a band called Pomegranate, which has a lead singer, Gavin Kanan, who is also of Sacramento.
Okay.
And it's a great club, and you guys should come out. They have food there, really good food, and you know it's a full, wonderful bar and great sound, and it's really easy to get to. It's in Berkeley.
Exactly, and they have a really Berkeley's got a really enthusiastic music audience. That's the best way I can put it. We had 120 people the last time we did this, and there wasn't anybody like the Rain Parade headlining. So imagine what's going to happen that night.
Yeah, I think you're going to have a good night. That's, you know,
we're all going to have a good night. You're going to get some people that are going to walk away and become Bottle Kids fans, I think.
Yay. That's what we hope.
And have you guys ever played there before?
No.
Not in this entity. I grew up in Berkeley too, like Dave did. So that was one of my old hangouts before the Keystone Berkeley, whether it's Berkley Square.
There's three main clubs in Berkeley that Eric and I have both played in a lot, which is the Berkley Square, the Starry Plow, and Keystone Berkeley.
Yeah.
And those are all historic places that a lot of.
And the Starry Plow hasn't changed much in terms of like the decoration, the same family's running it. And
nice. It's into the third generation now. I think
so.
The daughter, the granddaughter, is doing it now.
So it's a great Berkeley music institution. It's one of the last original ones. I mean, Larry Blake's has even gone. Anyway, not to go through the history of Berkeley music clubs, but Starry Plow is definitely one of those places that's been around. And
yeah,
and that's what we love about it.
Yeah, and they care about the music. You can tell. I mean, they have an actual bona fide sound man running the sound. I mean, that there, believe it or not, that's actually more rare than you would think.
Yeah, kind of a litmus test of a club, but whether they're dedicated to it, yeah.
Yeah, exactly, exactly. Yeah. So let's go around the room. How did you guys all get your start in music? You know, what have you done before this moment that brings us all together? Big question.
Well, Jose hasn't had a chance to sing yet, so we'll let Jose talk.
Well, I got in 79. Into the States and started playing with pretty much small local bands in San Francisco. And I moved to the East Bay a few years after that. And I'm living in El Cerrito when he showed up.
Ah.
I mean, he was just going down the street, and that's how we met.
Yeah, I was on a morning walk. I walk every morning, about 2 miles every morning. And
I think it was a Sunday.
On a Sunday, and I saw a truck with a drum set in the back, and my mind clicked, and I went up and said, hi. how are you? I have a studio, you know, a nice studio right around the corner. If you ever want to come and play, come and do that. So he's like, I'll do that. And we've done some fun projects together. And the one that we love the most is now working with Eric, yeah. Bottle Kids. And, yeah, so we've become really good friends and we're neighbors. So it's really convenient that we can walk to each other's house.
That's awesome. That's cool. So, Jose, you are a bass magnet.
A what?
A bass magnet.
How's that?
You attract bass players.
Yeah.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
In that way, well, as a drummer, you know.
Yeah, I mean, rhythm
section. All kinds of people.
Actually, I attract the drummers, actually, though, after we finish playing our sets in the club stuff.
Okay.
So the drummers come up and talk to us.
Yeah, okay. Jose has really good technique. He's a really good player.
Yeah, have you always been a rock drummer?
Actually, yes.
Nice.
Yes, I decided that I wanted to switch a little bit when I came into the country, but I didn't know any other formats of music, but just rock. And I just went straight onto the floor with my face when I tried to play salsa.
Oh.
And I didn't know anything about salsa.
It's got to be a world different. I mean, it sounds like the rhythms and everything is just way different in that genre.
Most definitely. I mean, in salsa, you got to see a lot of melodic rhythms. Hmm. And rock doesn't really have that unless you're playing fusion.
Gotcha. Interestingly enough, here at our radio station, The Voice, there is a salsa show on Mondays at 4 to 6 p.m.
Chuy?
No, a guy named Leon Reyes.
Oh, okay. I thought it was Chuy Varela.
No, but that's a great salsa name right there.
Yeah, well, he's a good radio station guy. I don't know what station he works from, though. But Chuy Varela, it's, you know, Sundays, what they call this, when they do how would I put it? When you celebrate dates like Mother's Day, Father's Day, you know. What do they call it? Brunch.
Brunch.
And then they do the brunch hour.
Oh, nice.
And Chuy is the one that...
He might be a KVMR up in Nevada City. There's a lot of stations like that. They have a lot of different programs that do different kinds of music. They're very eclectic like we are. So very cool. Eric, so what's your background in music?
I started out in Berkeley, kind of Dave and I, you know, that's how Dave and I are sort of connected, but it started out actually in 79 in Berkeley with a power pop band called Eric Blakely and the Blame. And and then we did a record with Dave Carpenter, who was in the Greg Kinn band. And
wow.
So the scene was exploding, you know, all the Plimsolls.
Yeah.
Greg Kinn, the Psychotic Pineapple, the Rubinews, all these bands. I was going out to see him, so I was just wanted to get my teeth into that kind of stuff. So I did the whole power pop thing, and then I moved to L.A. I left Berkeley like in 84.
Oh, your mic's going south on you.
Yeah, that's right. And here, we'll switch that. Yeah, there you go. And then I kind of went to – when I moved to Austin, I got kind of into the Americana thing.
Oh, okay.
Because I was really into Creedence because I was living up in Kensington, actually, which is in the Berkeley Hills, and Doug Clifford, the drummer for Creedence, lived
– That's right.
Yeah, on the Arlington. And so I was – because it was a rock star, I was interested. Oh, who is this rock star? Who is this guy? So then I turned on to Creedence Records when I was like 8 or 9. And then, so I had always had that sort of swampy thing in me too. So anyway, long story short, I went to Austin, did this whole Americana thing for years. And I rehooked up with Paul Collins, who I knew back from the day.
Oh, nice.
And then I did a record with him. And then I thought, I really got to tap into this power pop thing again. And that's when I was just kind of goofing with these drum beats. And then I realized, wow, it was like, I really enjoyed it again, I don't know why I stayed away from it so long. It wasn't really deliberate. I just got distracted. And then, so that's why I'm really into this now, because I'm really enjoying the music and sort of these radio stations like you and these people that are really keeping this power pop thing going. You know?
I think it's had a resurgence, and some would argue it's never gone away. But if you've been around since 79, you were like one of the power pop originals. I mean, that's kind of when people were discovering there was a term. I think the music had been around longer than that, but I think that's kind of when people start saying, hey, there's probably a genre here.
Yeah.
It's pretty neat.
People that liked punk but love the Beatles as well. Like I love the energy of punk and I love the melody of the Beatles, and I think that's how the whole power pop thing came. And I was probably 3 or 4 years younger. So the guy, you know, Peter Case and those guys are 4, 5, or 6 years older. So I was kind of, they'd kind of established it, and then I was like, this is what I want to do.
Gotcha. Yeah. And if we're talking 1979, we won't give away ages, but I'm just going to say that you and I are probably about the same age, 29.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
So you've got definitely some power pop cred. And Dave, what's your background? Where have you been before all this?
Well, I grew up in Berkeley, and in the time that I was a teenager, there were a lot of musicians that were still living in Berkeley that hadn't moved up to Mendocino or anywhere away, that were bands from the 60s and 70s. I actually lived next door to Country Joe McDonald.
Wow.
And across the street later was Philip Lithman from a band called Snake Finger. And so there are just lots of bands still hanging out in Berkeley area at the, you know, Pete, the original Pete's Coffee on Vine Street.
That's right.
And run into them. And so they sort of all took me under the wing and told me stories about the old days of touring and all the things that I shouldn't do and that I should just focus on playing music. And they'd give me little pointers. And actually, Dave Carpenter, that produced Eric's album, gave me a couple of lessons because there was a music store called Leo's Music I used to hang out in and just kind of bug them. You know, as a teenager, I'd sit in there every day after school. And all these touring musicians would come through, and they'd say, "Wow, how long have you been playing?" And we'd start a conversation. They'd give me a little tip. So I kind of learned to play from everybody in the Bay Area.
That's really
just
neat.
Hanging out at Leo's.
Just hanging out.
Yeah.
And, you know, it seems like the Bay Area music scene is just thriving. I mean, I look to that, and I'd say a good third to half of the artists I play on my show these days, without even trying, they're just from the Bay Area or Northern California, to be sure. It just seems like it's really healthy over there.
I'm surprised, actually, because I've only been back here a year, and I had kind of said, well, it's kind of dead out here. That's my first, because the clubs, that's just coming from the fact that the clubs were that I used to play weren't really around, the Starry Plaza and stuff. But then he had this band that he showed me, Warm Soda, that guy, and I was like, he's a Bay Area guy. And then I start realizing, you're right, there's like a huge, and a lot of them are doing this kind of music. It's kind of funny. It's kind of a hotbed for this, you know, what we call power pop kind of stuff. Yeah. And jangle pop and whatever.
Yeah, no, I love that. It's always been just fun to listen to. It can be deep or it can be shallow, just whatever, you know, the artist makes of it. I'm here with the Bottle Kids, and you guys have these wonderful musical instruments ready to go. You have bass guitar and drums, and I'm thinking if you guys are ready, why don't we hear a song?
This is an experiment for us because we're going to try one of our fast ones.
Okay.
It's kind of a rocker, but
we're kind of semi-acoustic here, people.
So it's the Bottle Kids Unplugged. What are we going to hear?
Yes, You Can, which is that the first track on the record? I think it is.
I think it's number 3.
Oh, okay. It's the video that we did. And good friend Mark Schumann, a great director who's actually working. I'm just going to give him a plug because he's working on a great movie about the band Morphine, anyway. And he directed the video, and this is the... So, anyway, you can find the video on out where videos are.
Sounds good.
There she is all by herself. Her heart is for the taking. Don't keep her love on a shelf. There's love you should be making. Don't try to ply her with wit. Oh, you're tough to meet her, just be yourself. Keep you cool and walk right up and tell her. Yes, you can, yes, you can. You just got to tell her. Grab her hand, grab her hand. Yes, you can, yes, you can. You just got to tell her. Waiting for your chance. Don't wait for the music if you want to dance. The meek shall inherit the earth, but the lonely when it comes to love. Yes, you can, yes, you can. You just got to tell her. Grab her hand, grab her hand. Yes, you can, yes, you can. You just got to tell her. Grab her hand, grab her hand. Yes, you can, yes, you can. You just got to tell her. Grab her hand, grab her hand. Yes, you can, yes, you can. Taylor. There she is all by herself. Her heart is full, they're taken. Don't keep her love on a shelf. There's love you should be making. Don't try to ply her with wit. Oh, you're tough to meet her, just be yourself. Keep you cool and walk right up and tell her. Yes, you can, you just got to tell her. Grab her hand, grab her hand. Yes, you can, you just got to tell her. Grab her hand, grab her hand. Yes, you can.
Woo! I wish I had more people to clap here. That was excellent. You know what? You guys succeeded. Unplugged works with that song.
Great.
All right.
That was the first Bottle Kids song that I played. That one just jumped out at me. I mean, they're all great, but that one was said. That's if there's a single, that's it right there. Is there such a thing as a single anymore?
Well, you know, I think we still have that mentality, and we put them out like that. But I don't think the physical singles. Although I'd love to see that come back. It's coming back a little bit. I think people are putting 45s out.
Yeah, that one would be a good one for vinyl. I think
that's why we shot the video of it. And I'd love to get a vinyl version of the record out.
But... Yeah, yeah. Is the video out now or?
Yeah, it's been out for a while. It's, you know, the YouTubes, VMO, or I don't know how you say it, but anyway.
Oh, Vimeo.
Vimeo, that's right. Yeah.
Yeah, I guess like video with an M instead of the D, yeah, or whatever.
Yeah, it's on the Bottle Kids website, too. So.
No, that was really, really great. What is your website, by the way?
TheBottleKids.com.
Doesn't get any more straightforward than that.
And I was lucky. I was sort of disbelief when we were looking at securing the website. I thought, well, it's probably taken... And had it been taken, I probably wouldn't. The band probably wouldn't be the Bottle Kids. So that was sort of the permission to say, okay, I'm going to use it.
Yeah, the interwebs are giving you know, validation for your band name. Very, very cool. So what are you guys going to sound like on Friday at the Starry Plow? What can the audience expect?
I think pretty. You know, it's pretty close to the record. There's the only thing is I don't have the background vocals.
Okay.
That are as prominent on the record because you have the luxury in the studio of layering your vocals and stuff. So it sounds pretty close to the record. It's a little raw and edgier, and so I think that's what they can expect.
It's a little more electric, I imagine.
Oh, it is. Yeah, it's very electric.
Yes. And you guys have been playing some gigs. I've been following your exploits on Facebook. You've got some gigs under your belt recently?
Got a few. We did the Stork Club, Eli's.
Uptown in Oakland.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah, all the usual suspects, you know.
Guys getting receptive audiences?
So far, so good.
Because, I mean, we're talking about the power pop scene and you know, just upbeat stuff. You know, there's a lot of musicians playing. Are people digging? I mean, are there true power pop fans that say, I'm going to the show because it's power pop?
Yeah, I don't know. You know, sometimes we don't talk to them, but I think that the people, even the non-power pop fans, people come up and they're, you know, it's been pretty positive response so far. We want to get, like, what we're looking forward to Friday is we want to get in front of an audience that likes this, you know, that likes this kind of music, and that's going to be a great opportunity for us on Friday.
And Michelle Capel Stone named it the Psych Pop Social, and that's kind of an apt name. I mean, we have the whole spectrum there, the true, you know, psychedelic sounds of the Rain Parade. I think the Cherry Blue Storms kind of straddle the line, then you're more upbeat power pop. So I think it's kind of interesting. It's almost going to be kind of a continuum that night in that order. It's going to be power pop all the way to the psychedelic.
Yeah.
And, you know, I think they've paced it really nicely. I guess that's not an all-ages venue. That's why it's starting kind of late, like a 9 o'clock start. I guess they have to clear the minors out of the room before they can hear the before us quote-unquote adults can play.
Yeah.
I'm here with the Bottle Kids, and do you guys feel like doing another song right now?
We could. We'll do a little slower one. This is called The Most Beautiful Girl in the World.
Nice.
And if I can remember it. All right. I know I sound crazy. I don't mean to sound trite. You know I'm crazy about you. I love you with all of my might. And I think you might be the most beautiful girl in the world. Most beautiful girl. I get a weak in the knees. I can't eat, I can't sleep. All I think about is you, my white flags unfurled. And I think you might be the most beautiful girl in the world. The most beautiful girl. I'm tired of running away. I'm glad it happened this way. When I found you, I knew I'd found the pearl. And I think you might be the most beautiful girl in the world. The most beautiful girl. The way you smile and laugh, the way you always give back. All the love you receive, so much more. And I think you might be the most beautiful girl in the world.
Awesome. Sounding good, guys. You know, the slow tunes work really well as well. You know, I detect, I don't know if you've ever thought of this, a bit of a Johnny Rivers vibe in that one.
Really? Yeah.
Beautiful.
I hadn't heard that, but I could see where that correlation
is.
Yeah.
That's a nice thing to say.
Like the summer rain is kind of what I'm thinking of. Yeah, nice. So here with the Bottle Kids, they've gone fast, they've gone slow on us. You know, we're reaching the end of this first segment. Can you guys stick around for a little while longer?
Be happy to.
Awesome, awesome. We are here with the Bottle Kids, thebottlekids.com. We're here with Eric, Jose, and Dave. And you know what? We're going to have that live gig with them on Friday night at the Starry Plow in Berkeley. And it is just so much fun. It's kind of funny how it came together. I don't think we said this online, but you guys said, hey, if you're ever doing another live show, you know, consider us. Meanwhile, I asked the Starry Plow if we could throw the Bottle Kids on. They said, well, they're already on a bill. You have to construct the rest of the bill around them. So it's going to be a fun night, folks. We're broadcasting it live here on twirlradio.com. As we head out to the end of the hour, why don't I play a little bit of a cover that you guys did, the Records, Guitars in the Sky.
Sacramento.org. This is the Voice of Sacramento, community radio for the greater Sacramento area.
And we are live right here in Sacramento, California on Twirl Radio. I've got the Bottle Kids with me. I've got Eric, I've got Jose, and I've got Dave. And, you know, Dave, it's interesting. We were talking about this. You are in Deborah Isle's band, the Deborah Isle Group. How did you hook up with this legendary singer, songwriter, front woman?
Right, yeah. Deborah is a singer of a band called Romeo Void. And to start with, she's one of the first bands that, when I was a teenager, that I was enamored with. And I went to see her open up for U2 with my girlfriend in San Francisco at the Bill Graham Civic Center. And I had all of her albums, was totally in love with her music. And I loved it because there was saxophone and guitar.
Yeah.
You know, it's really great sounds. And over the years, different things happened. The other people, her label mates, Wire Train, I ended up living in a house with the bass player of Wire Train and became very good friends with him. And then later, through other friends, I became friends with the bass player of Translator. And Romeo Void, Translator, and Wire Train were all on 415 Records together.
Wow.
So there was a reunion show at Slim's where those three bands were reuniting and playing. And a bass player from Translator asked me to be the stage manager. They're stressed out. He says, you know, we know you can organize and get people on and off the stage and equipment moved around. So I did that. And during that show, I met her. And that's when we became friends.
That's pretty huge. And you just name-checked a whole lot of fantastic bands and history there.
Lovely bands, yeah.
Yeah, and Wire Train.
That inspired me and, you know, made me play music.
See, that's really cool. Yeah. Now you're part of that whole circuit yourself.
Yes.
It's really neat, really neat. I've been a big fan of Wire Train. I, you know, didn't know that anybody ever heard of them. It's amazing. I was living in Chicago, and they got airplay. I bought their album, and when I started the show out here, I just made sure I always played Wire Train.
Great.
Yeah, yeah. And, of course, Deborah Isle, you know, got to meet her and have her on the show. First time I ever played vinyl in this studio was when she brought some of her vintage vinyl collection. And believe me, that was a thrill. Yeah. She's bringing stuff that she performed on or stuff that was produced by her contemporaries back in the day. Yeah. Vintage vinyl were playing on these turntables here. That was like a moment for me.
We have a lot of fun with that. Her husband, Patrick, works for Burger Records, and he engineers and records for them. And he's a real vinyl person also. We have spent a lot of time listening to vinyl.
He's a great mastering guy, too.
Yeah, he's a great masterer, but that house has a lot of vinyl.
That is so cool. Very, very cool indeed. And it came up in conversation, Eric, that you've worked around some greatness. Paul Collins, tell that story.
I knew Paul back from, you know, back in 79, 80, and in fact when I moved to LA, that we had a phone conversation about me maybe playing guitar with him, and then nothing came of it. He came through Austin, Texas, where I was living, and we ran into each other by pure chance. I was hosting an open mic, and he came in. It was a weird thing anyway. So they came back to Austin. I was hanging out with them, and one thing led to another, and their guitar player couldn't make some tour dates, so I went on tour, and actually John Wicks from the Records was on that tour as So I ended up playing with John a little bit on that tour with Paul's other guitar player. And then Paul needed to do a record and needed to do it in the States. So with Jim Diamond up in Detroit. And so I ended up playing guitar and doing the vocals and kind of co-arranging the record with him. King of Power Pop, his last one.
Neat.
And then I decided that, I'm gonna do the Bottle Kids now.
That's awesome. That time, nice. And of course, Paul Collins is the reason why the English Beat are the English Beat.
Yeah, they won that one. Yeah, I guess so.
Now there might be some English Bottle Kids out there. They might have to call themselves that.
Well, there's more Bottle Kids than I realized. Actually, when I finally put the record out, I didn't really research it really well. I was so excited to have the web name. I thought I was free and clear. But
yeah,
but more power to them. But there's some other Bottle Kids out there. Maybe we should do. I think there's four of us.
Oh wow,
there's
one
in
the
concert.
Chicago area. There's one like I think in South City. It'd be great to do a Bottle Kids night and have all the Bottle Kids
or do
play.
A compilation album with
all the Bottle Kids. Yeah, so maybe we should do something like that. I should send some emails out and see what
that
we
would
can.
Be. Really
actually,
fun.
A CD compilation CD of the Bottle Kids would be great.
Yeah. I would totally MC that live show because I can come up on stage and say the Bottle Kids, the Bottle Kids, the Bottle Kids.
Yeah. And we all will feel special, you know. Yeah.
You are
say
all
it three times and click your heels. Bottle Kids, Bottle Kids, Bottle Kids.
Each one of you is unique and special. Yeah. I guess that's
yeah, that's right.
That is pretty cool. And Jose, how long have you been hooked up with these gentlemen? I know you and Dave know each other. How long?
Well,
have you been hooked up?
We know each other with David for about a year and a half now, but with the band. We've been together since, I believe, September? August, September last year?
Yeah, I don't know.
Give or take 7-8 months, we've been together.
Wow.
Yeah.
So things are moving pretty fast then.
It sure is, and I'm enjoying it all the way, my friend.
Yes, and that is not a long time to be together, but you guys are tight. I can tell from the songs you've played so far. And then, you know, the big show Friday, and I know you guys have got a lot booked after that. So who's the singers, songwriters? Besides you, Eric, does anybody else sing or write songs or any of that?
Well, I'm a songwriter myself, though.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. We're going to try to do something later with Eric and Dave with my music.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
We all come from that approach to music, where we all are into, you know, writing and arranging. And so we work really well in the studio because we all are speaking the same language. We're hearing
exactly.
And seeing
yes.
it from the
yes.
same perspective, which is really unique. I also want to say one more thing about Jose is that he's our drummer, everybody. He's ours.
Well, I was just thinking. I wanted to add
so
something
great.
About Jose.
Yeah,
so
we love Jose's drumming.
When I contacted Dave, I said, well, he says, well, I got this drummer that lives in the neighborhood. I've been playing with him. He's pretty good. Come on over. Jose's been talking about this Latin music, and he's playing the bongos today because we're doing acoustic. But
yeah.
Jose is a kick-butt 70s rock drummer, which is exactly perfect for the Bottle Kids. So when he came in, even when he's playing, his attitude and everything. And I love – my thing is late 70s, early 80s. I love, you know, and so that's exactly what he grew up on. Playing. He wasn't playing, you know, I can't speak for him exactly, but so when he came in that 70s thing, and then Dave, of course, and I are cut from the same cloth, so it was just sort of instant, like, let's just make this happen, you know, so.
That's fantastic. And give a shout out. There's one more member of the band, is that right?
Yeah, Larry Tracy. Yeah, good. Thank you. Yeah. He's up in Nevada City, and I knew him in Austin. He's played on several records of mine. And then when I had a studio there, I used to bring him in to do parts. And so he's up in Nevada City. So I said, hey, Larry, I need another guitar player. So
nice.
He's the remote guy. So he couldn't make it today because he's got family stuff down in L.A. But he'll be there next week with us.
Ooh, so we're going to have
a gig, yes.
It's a four-piece band, yeah.
So two guitar attack. I love that.
Yeah.
Yep.
So are you guys loud?
Yes, we are.
That's
good.
Yeah.
Yes.
Larry adds a lot of texture to the band. He does a lot of ethereal parts and he does slide parts. And he's actually a pedal steel player in a different life.
Yeah.
But within the Bottle Kids, he really provides all of the sort of oral texture of the music.
Very, very cool indeed.
We love him.
I can't wait to see the four of you together. I know that's just going to click. It's going to definitely resonate with people. I'm here with the Bottle Kids. You guys want to do us another song?
Sure, we'll do one more slow one. This one, when I was recording these songs, I didn't know how they were going to come out, and it's not whether it's good or bad, but this one, some songs when you finish them, when you're recording them, you're like, oh, that didn't kind of come out the way that I wanted, and you're a little disappointed. And this one, when it came out on the record, I really just, I can't really say that I was in control of it. I was layering parts upon parts, and so I really love this is my favorite song on the record.
Wow, which one are we going to hear?
It's Well, that's a good question. I'm in love with you.
Awesome.
So here it goes. It's a tribute and it's a nod to the obvious influences that you'll hear in it. But Roll me over in your fields of clover. Knock me out and do me in. Cheek to cheek, skin on skin. 'Cause I'm in love with you. Ever wonder, ever uncover what it is I see in you? Crystal clear, the light shines through. That I'm in love with you. I have my reasons, and I believe in an open heart and what it knows. I'm not afraid to let it show that I'm in love with you. So roll me over in your fields of clover, knock me out and do me in. Cheek to cheek, skin on skin, 'cause I'm in love with you. Yeah, I'm in love with you. I'm in love with you.
Nice. Very, very nice. I love that one, too. I can see why it's your favorite. Yeah. Oh, my gosh. That's definitely a big-time power pop there.
And there's a middle section that we don't do acoustically, but it's on the records.
So. You'll be hearing it at the Starry Plow
you
next
will.
Friday.
It's full treatment. Yeah.
Very, very nice. Live. It's going to be great live with the audience, too, more than just me clapping. How long of a set are you guys playing that night?
Well, it's really up to the plow. We're assuming 40 minutes, but sometimes these opener slots can be 30. But we've got 40 minutes mapped out. So hopefully that's what we're going to get to do.
I hope so, too. If I have any say in it, it's going to be 40 minutes.
Well, that's good to hear.
I don't think 30 minutes is enough for a band to really stretch out. You know, I mean, I think some bands just get warmed up at about 25, 30 minutes. Then, you know, 40, 45, that's where it starts happening.
Yeah, and I think it's perfect time for us because these are 3-minute. 3 and 4 minute songs, if that, you know. Sometimes I play a longer solo than I should, but anyway, they're 40 minutes is real tight. It's, you know, bam, 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 and we go right down the list.
Awesome. That's going to be great. Let me ask you the big controversial question. My listeners from the first hour know what this question is, but, you know, I said I was going to keep it light, but we got to ask the serious, hardcore question. What's your favorite foods, all of you? What do you guys like to eat?
Chicken.
Okay, Jose, you're a chicken guy, huh?
I know that because I asked him that on the way here, just not knowing you were going to ask this about food. And I asked him, how does he like it cooked? And I know the answer to that. It's grilled. He likes it grilled.
Do you cook, Jose? Do you grill your own chicken?
A little bit, but not too great in the kitchen as I am as a musician.
Keep you behind the drums, somebody else in front of the stove.
There you go. Yeah. Yeah, you're a big food guy. I can tell by your Facebook posts.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I like posting pictures of the food I cook or the food
and the
I eat.
The kale that you grow.
Yeah. We had a little garden this last winter. The little dirty secret is my wife, you know, loves doing all the summer gardening. I just learned this winter, I don't like being outside in the summer. I like being outside in the winter gardening, growing whatever can come out of the California soil. So, yeah, I had the kale. I'm an omnivore. I'll eat whatever you put in front of me.
Yeah.
So what about you?
Oh man, what don't I? I'm a vegetarian. Not to make an issue out of that, but basically, if it's vegetarian, I'll eat it. But if it came down to a desert island, if I had a big pizza or a big thing of pasta, I'm there. Or some French cheese, some real and bread and red wine. When I was living in Paris, which I did for a couple of years, it was pretty much red wine and cheese and bread. Not good for the physique, but good for the soul.
Oh my gosh, and it sounds so good. And of course, we're approaching dinner time here on the West Coast, so you're making me and probably a lot of my audience hungry, so I love that. If you ever spend any time in Sacramento, there's a vegetarian Asian place called Andy Nguyen's, and it's got like Vietnamese and Thai influences, and they're so good. Oh my gosh.
Yeah, I'm always looking for good road tips when I'm going through somewhere to get a good meal. So
yeah, absolutely. And Dave, it's up to you now. What do you like to eat?
Oh, I really am a fan of the outdoors, outdoor cooking al fresco, eating outside, and growing vegetables outside. Last year I had tomato plants that were prolific, And this year, there are new independents in the yard, just in various spots. I guess the wind blew sprouts and seeds. And so I grill tomatoes. I grill carrots, all kinds of vegetables, portobellos, a little bit of meat. But
he's a good cook. He's the band cook.
I love to eat good food, babies.
Wow, grilling carrots. That sounds intriguing to me.
It's really good, actually.
It's really good. A little bit of olive oil. All you need to cook is a little bit of olive oil, a little bit of salt and pepper, and some love on it. Just a little bit of heat.
Oh, some fire and it makes it all go around. Oh, my gosh. Okay, so I'm starving. This is what our meal with the Bottle Kids would be like. We'd have some pizza, chicken, some bread, some wine, some good veggies. Okay.
Grilled veggies.
I'm in. It's got to be grilled. And of course, the chicken's grilled. And, of course, you can get a grilled pizza. You know, they have that whole oven thing. So we could do this whole outdoor Bottle Kids Twirl radio meal sometime.
We should have one of Dave's outdoor shindigs.
Let's do a show there. Yeah. Do a live Twirl show.
Wouldn't that be fun?
Yeah. Food fest, a food and band fest. Yeah.
Have a couple other, bands from the area, and we can all eat and have fun.
You know, everybody always wishes they could be in Northern California. I think that would just seal the deal there. You know, especially if we do it like in February. You know, that would just really upset a lot of people.
Exactly. Yeah. It's nice, good weather.
Absolutely. So I'm here with the Bottle Kids. We are going to be seeing them live and hearing them live here on these Twirl radio airwaves Friday night, 9 p.m. Pacific start time at the Starry Plow in Berkeley, California. What's coming up for you guys after that? More gigs after that?
Doing a couple of David Bash's IPOs. Nice. Doing San Francisco, and we'll go to Los Angeles. We're in that one. And then actually with a band that we just played with, and forgive me because I can't remember the name, but they're based in Sacramento, and we're going to be playing with them and the Rockonicals, who we did a show at the Stork Club. So we'll be back up in the Cotati area, and that's in July, and hopefully some stuff in between. So.
Oh, great. Definitely come on back through Sacramento if you're here on a Saturday. We'll do this all over again.
Sounds like a plan.
So much fun, gentlemen. I'm here with the Bottle Kids. I can't believe our time is nearly over. Guys, want to see us off with one more song?
Well, are we prepared? Can we? Okay, sure. What can we do? What can we do? This is what I wanted to avoid. What are we going to do? I'm going to throw a huge curveball. This is one that we never thought we could do electric, let alone acoustic.
I love it.
You want to try clap on, Jose? You up for it?
Yeah, let's try it.
I'll start it and we'll just... Oh, no, Dave will start it.
Thanks, guys.
Yeah. And thanks for having us, Mike. We appreciate it.
My pleasure.
Yeah. Everyone is stacked in here like chicks inside an incubator. Lights on stage are so bright that it feels like an incinerator. To our set we play our songs and now we're in the elevator. Load the van, put it in gear, wave goodbye, we'll see you later. Everybody's gonna be alright, everybody's gonna have some fun tonight. Clap on, clap on. Not a trouble or a care inside. Every song we sing's like kryptonite. Clap on, clap on. Out of trouble or care inside, so shake that tail, deal broad daylight. Clap on, a clap on. Find the beat and turn your motors on, yeah. Stomp your feet into your favorite song. Let the drummer count it in 2, 3, 4. Everybody clap on. Every blow of these guitars has kept us in perpetual motion. Every song we play for you comes from a heart full of emotion. Hit the floor and dance around, let's have a little celebration. Turn it up and lay it down, we finally reached our destination. Everybody's gonna be alright, everybody's gonna have some fun tonight. Clap on, clap on. Not a trouble or a care inside. Every song we sing's like kryptonite. Clap on, clap on. Not a trouble or a care inside, so shake that tail, deal broad daylight. Clap on, a clap on. Find the beat and turn your motors on, yeah. Stomp your feet into your favorite song. Let the drummer count it in 2, 3, 4. Everybody clap on. Song, yeah. Stomp your feet into your favorite song.
thanks, guys.
Right,
the
thanks,
bottle
Mike.
Case.
Thanks for
awesome.
Having us.
Thank Great live version. And we'll see you Friday night at the Starry Plow in Berkeley. And speaking of the Starry Plow in Berkeley, here's the Rain Parade.